Good morning, everyone. Today we celebrate the fifth Sunday of Lent. Father Gregory Kirsch is our presider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace and peace of God our Father, love of the Lord Jesus, and strength of their Holy Spirit be with you. On this Lenten Sunday, we have a moment to pause from the demands of our daily world, to reflect upon those places in our lives that are dying or are dead, those places that we have missed or we have avoided. During Lent, we surface our brokenness and ask for God's healing. Let us come to the table of word and sacrament, mindful of our brokenness, our struggles, our pains and suffering, and bring it to the Lord, that we may be raised up like Lazarus. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us pray. By your help, we beseech you, Lord our God, may we walk eagerly in that same charity with which, out of love for the world, your Son handed himself over to death. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Martha was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters went up, sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, one of your loves is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death. While they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. Then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has not died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go and die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about her brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." So Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" she said to him. "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Our readings today are filled with hope, and they invite us to really reflect on our own journey, our own struggles, in a very clear and practical way. Whether it be from the first reading of the book of the prophet Ezekiel, if you've ever lost a loved one, whether they be old, young, or in between, there's always an element of why. Even if they're older, or they've been living with a terminal diagnosis, is the question often is why? What has happened? And so there is a absence, so to speak, when someone dies in our life. The consolation of Ezekiel is, "Oh, my people, I will open your graves." That's pretty exciting when you think about it. Don't you think? Good morning, hello. When those you loved have died, to hear their voice, to see them again, is the expectation that we all have. I know when I was traveling a great deal for work, I would come home and my mom was so happy to see me. I'm like, "Mom, I was only gone a couple of days. It doesn't matter, I love you and I'm just happy to see you." Wow, okay, Mom, I get it, thank you. There is this anticipation of always being with the others. And so our readings help us today to capture that joy, that anticipation, that hope that is really realized in the encounter in the gospel. Lazarus' death was a profound loss for Jesus. Lazarus was, as the scriptures invite us to consider, a close friend of Jesus. And so, not knowing why Jesus paused to go immediately when he learned of Lazarus' death, but he did pause. Maybe he was grieving. Maybe it was too much. How many times do we hear people struggling with loss, maybe of a job or of a friend or of distance, and they just can't handle it. And so they need to pause. Just take a few days or a few moments before you enter. And so Jesus pauses. And then when he meets Martha and Mary, he sees what he knows in his heart, profound loss and separation. But Jesus doesn't stay there, and he invites them not to stay there. He invites them to look beyond, not to forget grief. Grief is real. Don't want to act if it's not real. We want to grieve. We want to let go. We're going to go through those stages that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross has invited us to experience. It's okay. And yet in the midst of that, in the encounter with Jesus, they are different. Things are not the same. What's not the same? First of all, they're together. They were separated before Jesus got there, right? That's a big change. When people come to console us, we are not the same, because we then share our grief and we walk in a deeper way. But something else happens. Instead of staying at the tomb, we are invited to see life differently. And that's what Jesus invites them to do. Jesus invites them to see something differently. And so because of that unimaginable experience, Lazarus is raised up. Now, if any of you know, if you've been around death ever, 4 days for someone to be dead is not a pretty sight, because the aroma of death is profound. You've ever smelled a dead animal, right? Or a dead human being? It's profound. And yet the vehicle through all of that is love and hope. And because of that, things were different? What in your own life is dying or has died? What in your relationships have you been running from? What have you avoided because it is dead? Today, in this Lenten season, our readings invite us, rise up, be free. Don't be caught in the death of the world. I know some of my friends tell me they're avoiding the news because it's so saddening for them or upsetting. And I say to them, have you watched the wonderful things that are happening in the midst of the, you know what? And then what's going on? Well, people are coming together in a way they've never come together before. It's like the 70s again. The riots are happening, right? So there is a new vitality. When there seems to be a death in our world or a pall over the experience of our human family, there is life. This past week, I was privileged to do some work in Dallas. And while I was there, I was able to spend a little time with my cousins. They just had their first child, and the husband and wife, my cousins, they're pretty independent people. And when they got married, I said, you know, it could be a really wonderful marriage or it could be a terrible marriage. You gotta work it out. And seeing them work with their five-month-old, they have had to die a lot because they both have clear vision. But that clear vision conflicts at times, right? Don't you know, parents, huh? And they've had to work it out. They've had to die to their own belief in some ways and arrive at a consensus that will bring their precious little Millie to life and to love in a way impossible otherwise. So in this Lenten season, on this Lenten Sunday, where are you dying? Where have you died? Where has that spark of vitality and hope and energy that people depend on us from? Where is it? Today, we are invited to be Lazarus, and we are invited to allow Jesus through our relationships, maybe our sister or our brother or our spouse or a child or a neighbor is waiting to awaken in us where we are dead. And then Thursday evening, when I was coming home from work, I was given a text from a friend saying, I didn't read while I'm driving, okay? The text said, can you help? I thought, where can I help? I don't know. So when I got home, I called and I said, what do you mean help? And he shared with me our neighbors up the street were in marital conflict. And they were on the verge of separation. And I said, why are you asking me? I gotta take care of my mom, hello. And he said, well, just come over and visit. I know you'll help them. So I took care of my mom, of course. And then I went up the street and I met them. And they were in such opposition. They couldn't even face each other or talk to each other. And so they reviewed their story of the conflict, of not feeling loved and not feeling attention, of feeling stressed from their own families of origin and not listening to each other, et cetera, et cetera. And so I began to, with them, peel aside the layers of the onion. And by the time I left, they were holding hands, yay! And they were beginning to speak to each other. And I've heard just yesterday in a text that they're doing a little better. All of us have places in our lives that either are dying or have died. And when that happens, we're not able to be with someone else because something in us is not alive. It's dying or dead. And so today, Jesus says, come forward, be alive, rise up. Let us be open to those places in our lives. Besides our work of Lent, through prayer, fasting, or giving up, or doing something, and loving our neighbor, where in those three dimensions of Lent Have we died? Or maybe we are dying. How are we being called to life? So that next Sunday, great Palm Sunday, and we have the Passion and the palms, we'll walk with Jesus in a new way. Death will not have power over us, for we are people of the light and the life. Amen. Let us pray. We pray, Almighty God, that we may always be counted among the members of Christ, in whose body and blood we have communion, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
Have a wonderful Sunday. The Lord be with you.
Bow your hands and pray for God's blessing.
Bless, O Lord, your people who long for the gift of your mercy, and grant that what at your prompting they desire, they may receive by your generous grace and love, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.